Whoa, hallelujah. Yeah. Aren't you glad you didn't listen to that other voice this morning, right? Just roll over. He's already killed that other voice, right? We are in a battle, so we got to pay attention, right? We got to be careful. Thank you for coming. You know, ultimately, people that really have a heart for God are not coming for the preaching. They're not coming for the music, but they're coming for Him. And that's really why we're here. We're here because we want to know Him. We want to encounter Him. We want to hear from Him. We want to experience Him. And we want to know how to release Him and to make Him known. God has placed before us an open door. There's an open door. There's an open heaven. We are in a battle, and therefore we have to fight. You may not want to fight. You may be passive by nature, a passive individual. But how many know that in a battle you cannot be passive? You'll be defeated. We're in a war. You were born into it. The only difference is when you were born, you were just already in the enemy's camp. And then when you did the turncoat and you turned to Jesus, your adversary doesn't like it very much, does he? And so you're going to have to put him in his place because God has given you the authority to do so in his name. But you're going to have to fight. You cannot be passive. And you can't ignore the devil and hope he'll go away. You don't want to be consumed with him or be, what's the word, just preoccupied with him either. But there's seasons, there's times when he's going to come against you, as you know. And you cannot just ignore that and hope it'll go away. You can't even just try harder to be good. Because you'll never defeat him if you're just trying harder in your own ability, in your own strength, in your own willpower to be good. See, God's trying to shift us away from dependency upon ourselves and putting our dependency upon him. He's the overcomer. And God wants us to be overcomers. And the only way we can overcome is through the overcomer. Are you with me? It's not about trying harder. It's not about being good enough. It's about overcoming through Jesus Christ himself, who really has given us everything that we have need of. And it's in him to defeat the adversary. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. The weapons God has given to us is his name. Amen. His word in the blood of the Lamb. And so we, in his name, can defeat every enemy of our soul. But we have got to, first of all, submit ourselves to God. First, submit yourself to God. That means come under authority. Get your life into obedience to the voice of the Lord. You see, there's people that want to take the devil on and they realize that the devil's out to get them. And then they try to take him on, but they're not submitting themselves to God first. They're not obedient to God. And so they've given actually legal license for the enemy to beat them up. God says forgive, then you need to forgive. Otherwise, you give permission for the tormentors to come in and torment you. So whether we like it or not, we're in a war, and as warriors, we have to fight the good fight of faith, understanding that our weapons are not of us. They're not carnal. They're not of human origin, but of God. And so Christ is our all in all. He is the one who strengthens us. He's the one who gives us his armor, his ability. It's all a result of his grace working in our lives. And not a matter of trying harder today. Because trying will get you only so far. How many have discovered that? As a matter of fact, sometimes when we have an accomplishment, when we have a victory, we have a tendency to get a little haughty about that. And we begin to make our boast in our victory. Are you hearing me? And as soon as you start to make your boast in your victory, you're setting yourself up for a fall. You become even more vulnerable because now you start to think, well, I got this thing in the bag. And so you begin to let your guard down. You begin to let yourself go. You're no longer being vigilant. You're no longer being alert. And so then the enemy says, ha, there's a spot right there. And I'll get them right where they're weak, because they have let their guard down, literally. We have not stayed armored. We have not stayed awake in the spirit. God's presence is a threat to the enemy. The devil is threatened by the presence of God. But if we're not in obedience, there's not going to be release of his presence. Are you hearing me? There's not going to be the armor of his presence. And he'll get in your head. He'll mess your head up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? He'll start telling you all kinds of lies. And he wants us to be proud of our accomplishments. You know what? If we accomplish anything in our own lives, it's by the grace, it's by the mercy of God. And we have to remember that. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who realize their dependency on God. Amen. That you don't have what it takes to overcome. Jesus paid the highest price for our freedom. He paid with his blood for our freedom. It's not something to take lightly. It's not something to toy with anymore. Amen. You don't toy with sin, because it costs Jesus, his life, his blood. He suffered for sin so we could be free. It's not something to toy with anymore. Because of his sacrifice, he has provided for us a way of escape. No matter what you face, no matter what the temptation, there is a way of escape. The Lord always has a way for us. Are you with me? But testing is good for us. We don't like tests, do we? But in order to be promoted, you have to overcome. You have to go through testing. So James said, count it all joy, brethren, when you go through trials, tests. Because God is working something out in your life. You know, God's looking at the end result. We're just looking at the thing in front of us and saying, God, what happened? What's this all about? You know, so often we're short-sighted, and we're just looking at the problem, and we're not looking at Jesus and say, okay, Lord, there's nothing that you and I can't deal with together. I got to get my eyes off the problem, get them on the solution. Okay, here's another problem. All right, I'm just going to turn my back to the problem, and I'm going to look at Jesus and say, okay, Lord, well, how do we deal with this one? In Luke chapter 13, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, but I want to just read from chapter 13, verse 22 of Luke through 28. And if you would, just please give your ear to this. This is the Word of God. And Jesus went through the cities and villages teaching and journeying towards Jerusalem. And then one said to him, Lord, are there few who are saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow gate. For many, I say to you, will seek to enter and will not be able. When once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door, and you begin to stand outside and knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. And he will answer and say to you, I do not know you where you are from. Then you will begin to say, we ate and drank in your presence, and you taught in our streets. But he will say, I tell you, I do not know you, where you are from. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out. Now the Jews had thought, because they were the natural seed of Abraham, that automatically gave them a shoe into the kingdom. And Jesus shows up on the scene and he says, guys, it's going to be the same way for everybody. There's only one way for you to come in, and that is through me. I'm the way. I'm the door. And it's going to be made possible through my sacrifice, through my blood, where I'll provide for you an atonement for your sins, a way in to heaven through the veil. Amen. Jesus hung on that cross. He was broken. Amen? He was parted for us. And the life of God was as poured out for us in a sacrifice. We have the privilege today to hear this message. They hear the message that there's forgiveness for our sins. That we can have a clean heart. That we can be right with God. And that we can be qualified by His righteousness to be with Him in heaven. How many here want to go to heaven? Well, in verse 24, Jesus said, when they asked Him, Lord, are there few who are saved? He said, strive. And that word strive means literally to struggle, to compete for a prize, to contend with an adversary. It means to fight, labor fervently. To fight or labor fervently. He says, fight, labor fervently to enter through the narrow gate. Now, Barnes' note says this. The word is taken from the Grecian games. In their races and wrestlings and various athletic exercises, they strove or agonized or put forth all their powers to gain the victory. Do you see the picture? As an athlete who is putting all that he has into this struggle so that he may gain the victory. If we try to live in passivity in a war, folks, we're going to get stomped. You will be overcome. As a matter of fact, it will be through much tribulation that we will enter into the kingdom. It's going to be through difficulties. It's going to be through hardships. But the deal is this, is that God has provided His amazing and abundant grace in the midst of this so that we can actually enjoy Him, enjoy His life in the midst of this mess that we live in. Because life is not in activities. Life is not just having everything just so in, around you. Life is Christ in you. He is your hope. And you have access to Him anywhere at any time. And so the picture we see here of entering into life is that of a struggle or a fight. A fight. We are contending, amen, with our adversary. Now this is the deal, folks, is that if we will fight, the devil will lose. Because greater is the one who's in you than he that's in the world. The devil does not want you to believe that he's already been defeated by Jesus. As the Lord told the Israelites when they came out of bondage, He said, you saw what I did to the Egyptians. You know, and how I bore you on eagle's wings. And I brought you to myself. It was the work of God. So there is no excuse for you and I not overcoming because the greater one has come on the scene. We have access to Him 24/7. He'll never leave us or forsake us. And He's given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. And in Jesus' name, we can overcome. Amen? By the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb, we will overcome. He's saying we should be diligent, we should be active, we should be earnest. We should make it our first and greatest goal to overcome our sinful nature. By how? By receiving God's grace in the time of His favor. We are living in the time of His favor. In the time that He's pouring out His Spirit. All that we have need of is available to us so that we can be beautiful in Him and we can overcome in Him and we can make Him famous in all the earth. How many know that we can't be a witness for Jesus if we're all messed up? We've got to be walking in some victory, amen? I'm not talking about being perfect. I'm talking about walking in victory so people see that your life is different. There is power in you that they don't have. There is a peace in you that they don't have. There's a love in you that they don't have, but they want. So we can't be about making us known. We want to make Him known. It's all about Him. Unfortunately, I want you to hear this. There are people, even that come to church, who are shut down in the house. They're actually shut down to the grace of God. God is lavishing His grace, but in their hearts they're shut down. Because in our hearts we have a door. And you and I, as you know, are the ones who can open and close that door. God will never force Himself in on us. And as His people, we have to continually be opening the door, amen, and allowing God to have His way. That means submission to His will. And when you open the door, you'll have all the grace you need. You will walk in victory if you leave that door open to Him. And you don't shut Him out by being stubborn. You see, God is speaking to you and He's giving you instructions. He's telling you, I want you to do this. But if we're stubborn and we don't obey His voice, we say, well, I just don't want to do that. Well, what you're doing is you're shutting the door to the grace that could be yours to give you victory in that area of your life. But you've got to trust Him. You've got to trust Him unconditionally. We've got to get to the place where it's not what I can figure out in my head. It's what God says to do now. Because His ways are not my ways. They're higher than my ways. And I know His ways work. Peter instructed us in 2 Peter 3 and verse 14 and 15. He says, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 2, he says, I want you to remember what the holy prophets said long ago and what our Lord and Savior commanded through your prophets or the apostles. Most importantly, I want to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come, mocking the truth and following their own desires. Folks, I want you to hear something. This is happening in the church where people are just following their own desires. We all have to guard ourselves about putting ourselves before the priority of God, which is the kingdom. If we will seek the kingdom above everything else, he says, then things will come into order in your life if you put me first. I'll add to you the things that you have need of. You won't have to be worried about those things. But what happens is we attempt or we start to put God first and then we take back the control and we say, oh God, I've got this one. No, you've never done that before. Just me, I guess. Just me? Okay. Well, I'll take responsibility for myself. Are you hearing me? We begin and then we recount. We just, well, I don't know if I really meant what I said. How many know that God holds you responsible for what you say to Him? If you make a vow before God, He's not going to forget it. They will say, what happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? From before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created. They deliberately forget that God made the heavens by the word of His command, and He brought the earth out from the water and surrounded it with water. Then He used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood. And by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up for fire. They are being kept for the day of judgment, when ungodly people will be destroyed. But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about His promise, as some people think. No, He, listen, is being patient for your sake. He's talking to the church. He's being patient for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed, but wants everyone to repent. You see, God can't help people who don't repent, folks. God cannot save people who refuse to repent. God will not save you. Whether you call yourself a Christian or not, if you do not repent, God can't save you. You have tied His hands. Because nothing defiling is going to enter into heaven. That's right. It's very clear. The sexually immoral, sorcerers, those who refuse to repent of their drug addiction even, pharmakia. It's a form of idolatry. What is it that God's speaking to you? Folks, it's time for the church to get right, to repent, amen, of her sins. If my people who are called by my name. Now, this may not apply to you today, but I'm willing to bet that there's somebody here that's saying, you know what? God's been dealing with me about this thing in my life, and it's time for me to start listening to His voice. Why? Because I want God's favor. I want God's blessing in my life. I want victory in my life. I want to be an overcomer. Amen? And if I don't submit myself to God, I certainly better not attempt to take on the devil, because it's just going to get worse in my life. You got people who are living in all kinds of sin, and they're going around using Jesus' name to cast out devils or to speak to the demons and the principalities and the heavenlies, and their life is completely a shambles because they're not under submission. They're not in obedience to the will of God. And unless you and I get into obedience and get under the will of God, then we're vulnerable to every attack of the enemy. We're not going to have the anointing to defeat him. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. How many folks here see today that we're living in the last days? Since everything around us is going to be destroyed like this, what holy and godly lives should you, the church, be living? Looking forward to the day of God and hurrying it along. On that day He will set the heavens on fire and the elements will melt away in the flames. But we are looking forward to the new heavens and the new earth He has promised. A world filled with God's righteousness. In other words, this is not my home. Everything you see, folks, everything you see, this building, everything, is one day going to be gone. But this ain't our home. This is not our kingdom. Our kingdom is not of this world. We are citizens of heaven. And we are to live from that place in the Spirit. We are to operate from heaven. How can I say that? Because the Bible says that we have been in Ephesians 4, right? That when Christ ascended on high, He gave gifts unto men. But it also says in Ephesians chapter 2 that we have been seated together, where? In the heavenly realms. In Christ Jesus. We are to abide in Him. We are to stay close to Him. We are to stay alert and vigilant. Amen? Because we are involved in a war. And that war is for the souls of men. This is serious business that we're involved with. Folks, we should never, never give ourselves over to the lusts of our flesh. Once we become a child of God, we've been purchased, we've been bought, we've been set free in Christ. We don't have to give in to that life anymore because we have available to us all the resources of heaven. If we don't take advantage of what God has freely given, then it's our fault, not His. He's already taken care of it. He's dealt with the sin problem. The sin problem's been dealt with already. Oh, I couldn't help myself. Yes, you could. Come on. The devil made, no, he didn't. He might have tempted you, but you made the decision. And when we stand before God in that day, there's not going to be any blame gaming going on there, because God knows the secrets. Come on. Well, I would have been all right if it wasn't for Joe over there. So, dear friends, while we are waiting for these things to happen, verse 14, make every effort to be found living peaceful lives that are pure and blameless in His sight. Does God want His people to be pure? And blameless. And remember, our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. This is what our beloved brother Paul also wrote to you with the wisdom God gave him. Now back to verse 25, when Jesus said, when once the master of the house has risen up and shut the door. There's coming a time when God's going to close the door. Do you hear it? There's coming a time when all opportunity is going to be shut up. There's coming a time, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the coming of the Son of Man. There's coming a time when the fullness of the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, will be brought in. And God is going to open to His people, or His ancient people. Are you hearing me? He says there's coming a day when the door is going to shut. And He says you're going to begin to knock. Some will knock. I believe, folks, there were people knocking on the ark. And they wished they had listened to the voice of truth, the voice of reason, when Noah, preacher of righteousness, had poured himself out for 120 years. And no one wanted to listen. They laughed. They mocked him, you know. It's the same thing that's happening today. And the same thing is happening even in the church, where people are sitting in rebellion week after week. They don't listen to the voice of God. They do their own thing. They do their little church thing. They get that out of the way because it somehow makes them feel better. Are you hearing me today? It's not about going to church. It's about walking with Jesus. And if you walk with Jesus, you come to church and you fellowship. You have koinonia because we're a body, and He called us to a body because we're going to receive encouragement. We're going to receive strength from one another. Amen. And the giftings that God has given you are necessary for your brother and your sister. So if you're not here, somebody's missing out on your gift. Not only that, you're not going to grow healthy because you are not receiving the benefit of others' gifts too. Do you see that God has called us into koinonia, which means fellowship in the sense that we are like a bicycle with all the working parts. Everything works together, amen, in a machine, a well-oiled machine. And so you can't just kind of be the pedal over here and the tire over here. And it takes the whole, amen, bicycle coming together, all the parts coming together for that thing to be functional. Now, why did the writer of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 10, why did he say that it's so important that we come together and we fellowship? It's because we're seeing the day of the Lord approaching. We're seeing the things that are happening on the earth. We are seeing that we are engaged in a war. And how many know that if you're in a battle, it's always better to have your buddies with you? And you're not out by yourself. Because the enemy seeks to separate the sheep from the fold. Because once the sheep is separated, then the sheep becomes more vulnerable. You ever watch Wild Kingdom? Or that's an old one. But some of these shows where they have the animal shows, and they show how maybe a lion will seek its prey. It'll look for the weak one in the flock. It'll look for the one that kind of strayed off away from the flock. And it'll zero in on maybe on the babe. And that's why you'll notice that the mother will always try to get that baby really as close as possible to that baby, to put a wall between, you know, her and the adversary. And so that is why it is important that we encourage one another daily, that we continue to edify, build one another, pray for one another, right? Because we're in a war, and sometimes, I don't know about you, but you can get beat down in this war. You can get discouraged in this war. You can have a bad day. Anybody ever have a bad day? Yeah. And how many know there's times, and sometimes you're just going through it. But as soon as you come into koinonia, you come into fellowship, you connect with your brothers and sisters, it's like, man, that stuff just comes right off of you. And you're like, oh, thank you, Jesus. You know why? Because God smiles upon that. Because you're in obedience to His plan and His purpose for your life. You're part of something bigger than you. We've got Lone Rangers. We've got, you know, loose cannons running around everywhere. They don't need to be part of a body, you know. They're so super spiritual. But they're usually whacked. After a little while, their theology, everything is whacked because there's no accountability in their life. Are you with me? They're just self-appointed. They need to understand that they're part of something bigger than they are. and you need to connect to the body. You still love me? Say yes, make me feel good. So, you know why I say this? Because I love you. So like with your kids, don't give up on your kids. Man? I refuse to let my kid go to hell. Stand in the gap. We need to refuse to let brothers and sisters go to hell too. I'm just going to shift gears here a little bit. I want to share something with you. This is from James chapter 5 and verse 19 and 20. He said, brethren, he's talking to the church, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Now, we've been doing a study on the soul. And it's the same word, psuche. It's talking about the essence that person will perish if they persist in rebellion and will not repent. Because you tie God's hands when you disobey His voice. You see, there's this cheap grace gospel today that people think you can just live any way you want. And God's going to say, oh, that's okay. No, He will refuse that. Why? Because His Son was sacrificed on the altar for your sin. His blood was shed for you and for me. That's God's love. He poured it out for us. How can we despise what He has done by willfully choosing to do against what His will is for us? Oh, that's legalism. No, it's not. It's the Word of God. It says, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death. That means death folks. The Bible talks about two deaths. The first death is the natural death. The second death is eternal separation from God. And those who refuse to repent will be part of that second death. Because nothing that defiles will enter into heaven. See, God has provided atonement. God has provided cleansing. But the Bible says that we must confess our sins. We must renounce that way. Repentance is not saying, I'm sorry. Repentance means I'm turning away from that. I'm in obedience now. I'm under submission. When I'm under submission, I have all the grace that I have need of to be an overcomer. I can resist the devil and he'll flee from me. Why? You can't resist the devil if you're in camp with him. You can't defeat the devil if you're in bed with him. See, all he wants to do is get a foothold in our lives. Just a little compromise-y here and there. He just says, open the door. Just give me, he's like the salesman, you know. Just get your foot in the door. And then they feel obligated to let you in. Man, if the devil gets his foot in your door, kick him out and slam the door. Come on, don't mess around with that dude. He hates you. He's trying to get you to become an enemy of the cross. He's trying to get you to turn away. Are you with me? To turn away from Christ back to Him. There's a battle for your soul. It's really a matter of who you're going to worship, who you're going to serve. You can't serve two masters, Jesus said. People that claim to be Christians and they're serving two masters are hypocrites. They're liars. And the Bible says that every hypocrite will have his place in the fire. Where is the fear of the Lord in the church today? There's two kinds of Christians. You've got inner court Christians and you've got outer court Christians. Outer court Christians are the observers. They never really open the door. They just kind of watch other people get blessed. They check it out. They're always checking it out. Pleasing my wife. Pleasing my husband. And then you have your thrill seekers. What's the latest happening? The latest thing? Ooh, the bottle rocket Christian, you know? Well, that was great. No conversion, no repentance, no change of heart. They're not experiencing the life of God. They're just living off last experience they had. They don't know Christ themselves. They're trying to live off everybody else's anointing. Are you with me? And they'll come up around you and they're like leeches. They're always like, give me something, give me, lay hands on me and make me spiritual. Come on. This is a time when I need to be prayed for. You need to be prayed for, amen? And we should be open to be prayed for. But what God is trying to teach us is that we don't have to go to every pastor and evangelist and superhero out there. We just need to go to Jesus. He's the superhero. Come on. We've been given access to the throne of grace. We can come, hallelujah, in confidence and receive everything we have need of. These outer court Christians are also the ones who kind of, they just dabble with the gospel, you know. A little will do you. I dabble a little bit with Christianity, yeah. And then you have, there's a door to your heart and you have to open it. And then you have those, of course, who are the inner court Christians. How many inner court Christians are here today? I'm an inner court Christian. Amen. We are possessors of His holiness. Amen? Amen? We are filled with the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. We are in Him. We're possessors of His life. Do you know who John was talking about in 1 John? He's talking to Christians. I mean, you know that most of the letters are to the church. He says to them, he says, do not love this world. Verse 15 of chapter 2. Nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure. A craving for everything we see. And pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. Folks, this is the Word of God. This is not my word today. I'm just the paper boy. And this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. And what that really means is the will of God. What is the will of God? Simply said, it is to believe on Him whom the Father has sent. What does it mean to believe in Jesus? It means I believe His Word. I believe what Jesus said is true. In fact, when you believe in someone, then their word is true to you, and therefore you will submit to their word. Are you with me? If you believe in someone, it means you trust them. And when you trust them, you will listen to what they say, because you know that they wouldn't tell you a lie. Are you hearing me? God is not a liar. His word is true. Forget your opinion. Your opinion doesn't matter. My opinion doesn't matter. It's the word of God that is true, and it's only the truth that's going to set you free and keep you free. We're in a battle, and you cannot compromise with your enemy and have victory. You've got to be all in. Hallelujah. You've got to be armored up. You've got to be a worshiper of God, a worshiper in spirit and in truth. It's a battle of truth. It's a battle for your mind, who you're going to serve, who you're going to believe. We don't like talking about hell, but hell is a real place. Jesus talked about hell. Jesus came to deliver us from that place. He came to provide a way, a make a way for us. But this way, He said, is a narrow way, and there's only going to be a few who find it. As it was in the days of Noah, how many souls? 8 souls were saved out of that entire world. 8 souls. He says this is the way it's going to be when He returns. There is not going to be many, because He said, wide is the road that leads to destruction, and many go in there. You see, there is a wide road, acceptable social gospel today that's very popular, that just tells people that they can continue to live any way they like. God's going to accept them. You know what? God's not going to accept them because He can't. The reason why He can't is because He is a just God. And unless that sin has been brought under the blood, there's no forgiveness. And you cannot stand before His holiness without the blood. If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. When we walk in the light is turned on in us, and we realize whether or not we're in right standing with God. It's by the light of Christ that we become aware of our true condition. And unless we become aware of our true condition, we will never know whether we need to repent or not. Are you with me? So we need to come to God like David did and said, Lord, search me and try me and know my heart today. You know, let me know, Lord, if there's some wicked way in me, something that I need to repent of. I want to have my heart right with God. How many know that Titus tells us that the grace of God has appeared to all men? That grace is Jesus Christ. He's the grace of God that came. Amen? It's Christ Himself. But He's done what? He's taught us to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. We need to turn away from the devil and his ways and the world, way of the world, so that we may walk with Him in the light. Because this is not our kingdom. We are citizens of heaven. Any citizens of heaven here today? How many citizens of heaven are here today? I was speaking in tongues there for a bit, yeah. You know, people get mad when you tell them the truth, but you know, the bottom line here is, folks, is I'm going to be responsible to God for what I share with you, His people. Jesus said, I'm coming for a bride. She's not a prostitute. She's not in love with the world. She's going to be pure. When we lift up the cup of communion, we're saying, Jesus, I'm betrothed to You. I'm married to You. This is the marital wine. I'm Yours. You're mine. We're in covenant. I'm not going to cheat on You. I'm not going to give myself any longer to the ways of this world. I'm going to live for God. My kingdom is not of this world, folks. I'm living for His kingdom. Amen. I'm living for that which is invisible and eternal. We're in this world, but we're not of it. Amen? God gives us good things to enjoy, but it's not about the stuff. It's not about the things that we see. It's about knowing Him and walking in His purposes and advancing the gospel, amen, into all the earth. That's the commission. That's what Jesus' dying words were, amen? When He left, His parting words were what? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. This is His heart, that we would be about soul winning, that we would live in the holiness He's provided through His blood, that we can walk in the freedom that He's purchased for us and the victory He's purchased for us. And in doing so, we will model what it is to be a citizen of heaven, and people are going to see the fruit of our life and they're going to say, I want what You have. Do people want what You have? Do people say, what is it that You have? Oh Lord, that's my prayer. I want You to be seen. I want You to be experienced. I want You to be felt. Amen? And people say, what is the hope that You have? You're not all stressed out about the way things are going in the economy right now. Come on. How many know that that's illegal for Christians to be stressed out about your finances? I've been there. I know you have too. How many know that you don't have to be? What is God trying to do? He's trying to get your attention. He say, come up higher. Come up higher. Come up higher. Come on, get in the Spirit, get in the God zone with me. Amen? Be like that eagle. You can soar in a place where there's perfect peace, there's harmony with God. There's no fear in love. I'm not saying that we don't take responsibility for what we do here. Yes, we have to make a living. I'm saying is that we're not to be stressed out and worried about anything. I didn't hear any amens. Amen. We are not to be worried about anything. You don't have to worry. Your Father knows what you have need of. Seek Him first. Seek Him above everything else. Folks, if we don't get this, if we don't get this double-minded thing under order, are you with me? Where one day we're here, one day we're there. God's saying, make up your mind. Amen? If He's God, then serve Him with your whole heart. Give your life, give your days, give your future. Why? Because this is temporary. His kingdom is eternal. Come on, build up your treasure. Have your treasure in heaven, Jesus said. Don't waste yourself on just vain living and empty stuff that only gives you temporary gratification but leaves you empty. There's a couple reasons, folks, that I believe why people don't open up the door to God. And I'm talking about even Christians. You remember Laodicea was a church, a Christian church. And he says, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. How many know that all over across America today, there are churches getting together that are shut down to God, to His Holy Spirit? They're going through all the rituals, they're going through the routines, they're going through the songs, the three songs, the offering, the sermonette, the feel-good sermonette, and they're just leaving as starved as they came in. They just kind of got a little pat on the back and said, you're just wonderful. I mean, you got to realize you're not so wonderful so that He can make you wonderful. God makes us look good. God makes us look good. You're trying to make yourself look good, you know, give it a few years. I'm seeing that more and more when I look in the mirror. But God makes you look good. He makes us beautiful. People don't open up to God. Are you hearing this? First one is because of pride. Because they are controlled by what others think of them. There are people who won't worship God, and they certainly won't do it openly. They won't speak Jesus openly because they are controlled by what others think of them. Because of their pride, they won't humble themselves to be available for God to use any way He wants. And that means sometimes being laughed at, being mocked, who knows. But because of pride, they don't open their heart to allow God to use them. Or they don't open up their hearts to allow God to work in them. And they're unwilling to let God have control. God, you can have this, but you can't have that. And to the degree that we hold back from God, that's the degree that you will remain bound in yourself. Because our worst enemy is ourselves. And if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And you'll find life in him. We need to open our hearts to God's love and His mercy and His forgiveness. Some people won't open up to God because of fear. Some people are fearful that they'll be exposed or they'll be found out. In John 3 and 19 and 20, Jesus said, this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. You know, He's the light. But men love the darkness rather than the light. And they don't come into the light lest their deeds be exposed. So fear will cause people to shut God out. Because they think somehow if I just keep the door closed, He's not going to know what's going on. That's why Jesus says when you pray, get alone. Amen? Get into your closet, He said. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. There's things that you don't need to confess publicly in a church setting. But if God is dealing with something in your life, you can go to your Father and say, Father, I'm just sorry. Please forgive me and help me, Lord. Give me the grace to overcome this thing. And everything you have need of is there. He will reward you openly. There will be a manifestation of your internal life outwardly. If you're standing on the inside, you'll stand on the outside. If you are built up on the inside, you will be able to stand on the outside. If your door open to Christ on the inside, amen, then God's life is going to be manifested on the outside. But because of fear and pride, many people continue to stay closed up. It even happens in church where people they get embarrassed. God has never embarrassed me. You know, I've done some stuff that maybe I've embarrassed other people about. Maybe Heisuk. I can't believe he just did that. You know, there's just sometimes where it's just like the best thing I can do is just maybe grab that tambourine and do a jump and a dance around this place and just kind of let go of myself. Get over myself. Are you with me? We got to get over ourselves. You got to get over your pride. David danced before the Lord with all his might. Even though he got criticized by his wife, Michal, right? He did it anyways. He didn't care what people thought. he was going to worship his God. He was not embarrassed by God. We should never be ashamed of the Lord. Amen? And of his testimony. Jesus says, if you're embarrassed about me, I'll be embarrassed about you before the Father. That's what he said. How many know God needs some bold Christians? He needs some Christians that are going to stand up and say, I'm not going the way, the wide way of the world. I'm walking in the way that leads to life. And that's the way of the Lord, the Master. And you'll find that people may not like you, but they'll respect you. I can tell you, when I saw hypocrisy in Christians before I was a Christian, I didn't respect those folks. Well, I'll tell you what, I didn't like people who were really, you know, the light was really shining brightly. I didn't like those folks too much. I didn't want to be around them because they made me feel uncomfortable. The light was on and I was living in darkness. I was like a cockroach in the dark, you know. And those creepy people, they're all lit up and smiling and, you know. I may not have liked them, but I'll tell you this, I had respect for them. As a matter of fact, I even acted differently around them. Are you with me? When you and I are full of the Holy Spirit, full of the light of Christ, people will even try to act differently around you because there's a respect for the presence that they're sensing. Are you with me? And they, you know, you'll never win people by compromising. You want to win your friends? Stand firm in the Lord. Be a man of integrity, amen, of character, of principles, you know. This is who I am. I'm a child of God. And I'm proud, yes, I said the word proud, to be a child of God. I'm proud of my Father. And I'm proud to be His Son. It's called confidence. So the part of you that wants to rebel about being public about what you believe is the part that has to die. That's the part of you that's rebelling against the will of God. When you're full of the Holy Spirit, you'll find it's a whole lot easier. When you're opening your heart, when you're letting Jesus fill your life, it's a whole lot easier. Why? Because the love of God will so be shed abroad in your life that there's not going to be any fear. Amen? God has not given us a spirit of fear. And finally, some people don't open to God because of mistrust. Because authorities in their life have hurt them. They blame God sometimes for their past hurts and their pains. God, why didn't you do this for me? Why didn't you help me? Why didn't you deliver me? And so they shut God out because they're mad at God. They become bitter towards God. And you know, folks, whenever we do that, if we do that, it's because we've forgotten the cross. We've forgotten what Jesus did for us. The price He paid for us. Are you with me? When we see Him hanging there for us, then our momentary light affliction is easier to deal with. Amen? Understand that even God will turn all things together, good, bad, and ugly, and work it all together for our good. That's what He promised. Jesus said, those whom the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never, never reject them. I'm going to just finish with this: strive to enter through the narrow gate. That means work at it diligently. All right? Be vigilant. Stay awake, stay alert. Understand that we are contending for a prize here. We are fixing our eyes on Him, the author and finisher of our faith. We're going somewhere, folks. Don't allow the lesser things to choke you. Cast off every weight, those things that would bog you down, those things that would burden you down. How many know there are things in your life that God's saying, you don't really need that. Why don't you just get rid of that? Because that's dragging you down. That's weighing you down. That's actually hindering you from reaching your goal that I've given for you. I don't know about you, but I'm in this all the way. There's nothing I want. This world doesn't have anything I want. It has nothing for me. My citizenship is in heaven. I'm living for the kingdom. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to serve Jesus. Amen. We need to be about our Father's business too. We need to be soul winning. We need to be telling people about Jesus. And if you can't do that, then you just need more Jesus. You need to open the heart, your heart wide. Let Him fill you with the power of the Holy Spirit. And you'll find that what was impossible naturally, you can do now because the supernatural God is upon you. Hallelujah.